David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody. This is Stacey from The Advisor. Today, I'm very excited because we have Anthony Molisky here today, and he is an amazing gentleman. He is very into investing and in commodities. So if you're really interested in those two topics, you want to learn more about it, and you want to learn how to do it successfully, he is the man to go to. Anthony's here, and he's going to share a little about his own personal life and his experience, and he's going to give you some great tools and tips along the way to help you on your journey of investing and investing in commodities. So Anthony, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, well, look, thank you for having me. I'm excited to catch up. You know, I'm an investor. I've spent my career investing in natural resources. If you look around the room that you're in right now, your car, you know, everything you see was either mined or grown. You know, let that sink in for a second. So our entire world is made up of these things like that were mined or literally grown. And so what I like to tell people is that is a really interesting opportunity for investment, because these are things we know, you know. And so I've spent my career doing that. And we recently launched a newsletter, The Oregon Group. Theoregongroup.com is the website. And we're kind of there on a journey to share our knowledge about commodities, give our opinions, our views on commodities, and share our framework for investing in the space with people.
I love it. Now, for people who may, you know, they've heard the term invest in commodities, and they hear people talk about it all the time. It's a very popular topic. Now, if you had to break it down and explain it to someone that wasn't familiar about investing and commodities, but they had an interest in it, you know, how would you, you know, explain, you know, the terminology, or explain what does it really mean to invest?
So let's pretend you drive a Tesla. Okay. I don't know, just to pick a car. Could be any car, but we'll pick Tesla. That Tesla has a battery, and that battery has lithium, cobalt, and nickel. And so when people think about investing, you know, they might say, well, I noticed all my friends are buying Teslas in this example.
Right.
And so maybe that person says, well, I'm going to go buy Tesla stock just to, and like, I think Tesla's going to go up. But when I think about the world, I think, you know, gosh, I don't know if Tesla is going to go up, because maybe Ford is going to make a better car, or maybe Chevy or BMW. I don't know who's going to make the best electric vehicle. But if in my mind, I think everyone's going to own an electric vehicle, then by owning lithium, cobalt, and nickel in this example, it doesn't matter if Tesla wins or Ford wins or Chevy wins, I'm going to be a winner, because I have the basic materials that are sort of part of that value chain. So another really simple example is artificial intelligence. Something we're talking about, it, it's like happening every day. So artificial intelligence takes massive amounts of power. There are all these data centers around your neighborhood, probably certainly your city, and they're powering AI, the CPUs, right? The computers, they're powering them. And where does that power come from? Well, it comes from coal, it comes from uranium, it comes from, so you know, once again, you know, who is going to be the winner here? Which warehouse company, which CPU, is it NVIDIA? Is it Intel? Like, I don't really know myself. But what I do know is I believe that AI is going to continue to be important. Yes. It's going to get more important as we go forward. So I like uranium because it's going to, you know, be an emerging clean technology. So it's really a derivative on all these things that are around us. And it's another way of thinking about the world and thinking about how you invest in it.
You know, that's, you know, that really is a great way of looking at it, because I think sometimes people, they look at the whole picture, but they don't really break it down into small segments and think about it like that. Like when you mentioned, for example, the battery, what the battery consists of, you know, and you mentioned nickel, and then you mentioned the other components, and you know, those are great ideas to really, because if electric cars are going to eventually, you know, take over a large population of, you know, our nation and maybe around the world, you know, what the battery consists of, those components, those natural components, could actually, by investing in those alone, you know, it's a no-brainer. And it's easier than investing in what things you're trying to figure out what brand is actually going to, you know, outdo the other brands and so forth when it comes to the car industry. So that's a great way of looking at it, you know, the example you just gave. Now, if someone was interested and started, you know, like if they wanted to start investing, you know, what are some things, you know, if they really, they wanted to invest more into natural resources and they wanted to, you know, look into investing in commodities, how do they get started?
Investing is really risky. And I mean, I think first of all, you know, you probably should talk to an advisor or someone who's going to give you actual investment advice, which isn't what we do. You know, we just sort of share our views on it. But for myself, you know, my approach is it depends on how much time I have. So for instance, gold is at all time highs right now or close to that, but I don't have a lot of time to think about specific gold stocks because I'm just busy doing other stuff. So I buy an ETF that has a basket of all these gold stocks as an example.
Right.
But copper I'm really interested in. And so, you know, for copper, I do have the time to research names and think about them. And so I might buy specific stocks. But that carries a lot more risk than an ETF, because when you buy an ETF, you're buying a basket of potentially hundreds of stocks, you know, 10, 20, 100 stocks. And if any one stock has a problem, you know, you're probably going to be okay. Whereas when you buy a single equity, this is true, by the way, universally with equities, if that particular equity, even if the sector is doing well, has a problem, then you can lose all your money. And so I think that's another thing to think about just in general before you kind of go down this endeavor. Like, you know, when I think about like my own 401k or, you know, my own long-term investment strategy, frankly, I buy the S&P 500 and reinvest the dividend. I think that's, you know, Bogle pioneered that strategy. And I think that is like the strategy that has worked consistently. But, you know, all of us at some point in our lives probably have this, you know, surplus money that we want to invest and take more risk with. And I think that's the kind of money that you use to think about something like commodities, which are highly cyclical. They go up, they go down. Things like wars and earthquakes can have huge impacts on the supply chain or even on production. So there's all these interesting factors. But, you know, the thing that is exciting about it is, you know, sometimes you can buy these stocks for nothing, you know, just micro cap stocks, micro cap, that they're 5-10 million that end up at $1 billion. And so there's that element of possibility, I think, that isn't there when you own the S&P 500. And by the way, you probably should own mostly the S&P 500 because it's a lot less risky than these stocks where, you know, more of them probably go to zero than don't, right?
Right.
Because of the challenges of extracting resources in difficult places and raising money and finding management teams and so on.
The reason why I asked that question, because I've seen so many people from, you know, especially now, I see a lot of younger kids really interested in stocks and really interested in investing. And, you know, they're just learning off the top of their head, you know, and even people that have been investing for years, sometimes they get really excited. They see, you know, that their stock is going up and they're seeing that they're investing, what they invested in is doing really well. And then they keep it in there for a while and then they don't pull out when they should.
Yes, this is actually the best. Like, people always ask me, you know, like, what was something you regret? I never have regretted the stocks that I sold. But I can tell you right now, there are a lot that I regret that I didn't sell.
Right.
And I think it's a fantastic point you've just made, you know, especially with the speculative stuff. You know, there's a huge tax advantage to owning the S&P 500 for the next 20 years. Like, that makes sense. But, like, especially for people who trade crypto, I don't personally trade crypto, but crypto and these other, you know, highly risky asset classes, let's be clear, very risky, all of them. Make sure and sell. You know, like, if you get in there and it goes from $1 to $3, like, sell $1 worth, pay your taxes, and then, you know, and then move on. Because if you know, if you go from $1 to $20 on your way back down to 50 cents, like, that's pretty unfortunate. And I think in recent times that happened a lot with crypto in particular. And like I said, I don't invest in crypto personally. No shade. It's just not something I know commodities. I don't know crypto, but you know, I think that's happened to all of us at some point. And so I think for young investors, you know, make sure and take a little off the table in your highly speculative portfolio.
Yeah. Oh, I agree too. And I've seen people who are older too make the same mistake. And, they get really excited, or they hear from a friend that says, oh, do
I just
this.
made this mistake within the last 2 years. I invested in this company, and I can't quite remember the exact amount, but the upshot of it is the company went from a market cap of nothing to almost $1 billion. And now it went all the way back down. I didn't sell a single share, right? Like, and it was worth a lot of money. A significant amount of money. And I just, it was so undisciplined. I mean, I think discipline is part of this, and it's knowing, like thinking about where you're gonna exit, on the way. Like I tell you, early in my career, I worked at an investment bank, and I was talking with the managing director at the time, one of the MDs in the group, and I was asking him about we were talking about money, and at the time it was a bull market, and I was thinking, well, how much is enough? And he said something that's always stuck with me. It's like, if going into your career, you don't have a number, and say, I'm done when I hit this number. If you don't predefine that, then there will never be enough, because it'll just keep moving as you go through your career, as you become more successful, as you have these moments, that number will continue to shift. If you don't know going in, you have to set it going in. And I think in some ways, like in these micro cap or highly risky asset classes, it's not dissimilar. Like, what's your number? And if you don't have it going in, then it's really easy to watch it to go all the way up. And then it starts selling off. You say, well, it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. And then it never comes back, right?
Oh, for
So there's
sure.
like
And
certain discipline there, you know?
I think you do need to have discipline. I've seen many people where they did not set that number, how much do they want to have? So in a sense, I've seen them kind of get into that greedy mode where I want more, I want
Yeah,
more, I want more.
100%. We're all like, we can all fall victim to it. I mean, we all have felt, and it's and not even just about money or stocks. I mean, it could be a relationship, it can be in any aspect of our life. But having that discipline to know when enough is enough and then move on, I think it's really important.
No, I that's the best advice you could give. I think that's a really important, thing for people to do, because I think a lot of people go in blinded and they don't really set a little trajectory or a plan, what is enough? What are my goals? Like, where do I want to be headed with this? What am I?
I'll tell you, years ago, I think it was NPR. I can't really remember. I was in a car, and by years ago, I mean 15 or 18 years ago. And they went around, and the upshot of the story was, at the time they went to people who were making $30,000 a year, and they said, "Are you rich?" I said, "No, we're not rich for sure. But if I made 65 grand a year, I would be rich." And then, they went in this bracket. They went to that group, and this isn't really scientific. It was more anecdotal, but they went to the next group at 65 grand and said, "No, we're definitely not rich. But if we made $120,000 a year, we'd for sure be rich." And they went all the way up, and mind you, this is 15 or 20 years ago. They went all the way up to people making $1 million a year. It's like serious money, and especially 20 years ago, think about what
Oh
that
my God,
is.
that's a lot 20 years
Uh,
ago.
and uh, they said, "Are you rich?" And they said, "No, we're definitely not rich. We're just getting by. But if I made $2 million, I'd be rich." And so there's something about human nature that, you're always kind of looking to this next thing. And in investing, I think if you're not careful, you get smoked out that way, right?
Oh,
You have to, and probably just in general in life, but it's probably difficult for happiness and a bunch of different aspects of our lives, but certainly for investing, it's problematic.
yeah, and I think if you don't set a number down, I think then you get stressed out too. I think because then you want more, you want more, you want more, and then you're never satisfied. And when you have that never satisfied mode, and you're constantly wanting to have more and more and more, I think that's when, when I see people start going up the ladder, and then they keep wanting more, and then they kind of destroy their own selves and the success. I just, they get to a point where something happens, and then they just do a pit dive, and I, like you said before, put a number down, and really know when to pull out, and give yourself, the sense of, okay, I've made X amount, let me pull this much out, and a lot of people don't always do that. I see that mistake a lot of times, and I've seen people lose, over millions doing that. And then it's like, oh, and they're and it's not even my money. I could imagine how they feel,
Yeah,
so
no, for sure. So, yeah, I think, I mean, that's how I think about it, at least.
Now, you made a newsletter. Like, what was the purpose of your newsletter? Why did you make this newsletter? And like, what was your purpose and your focus on it?
Yeah, so like historically in Canada, which is primarily where we work and almost exclusively actually, or in terms of where the stocks are listed, there were brokers, and these brokers would have all these clients, and you would call up the brokers, you'd talk with them, and then their clients would invest, potentially invest in whatever you talked about. But what has happened and continues to accelerate is
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
People have interactive broker accounts or Fidelity accounts or TD accounts. And so they're just trading direct off their phones, and brokerages have been totally disintermediated. And so there's not really information flow necessarily to all of this audience. I mean, they just can still use Google, they can still do whatever it is that they want to do, but it not in the same way that there was when you were sitting there with the brokerage. And so, I think what we're doing is just sharing our views on commodities, the mining industry, energy industry, in a format that is accessible to anyone. We don't charge anyone. You can, like I said, you can find it at theoregongroup.com, and you can learn more about me at anthonymaluski.com. So those are two places, but it was really to fill that void that's been created by disintermediation of at least in Canada, of brokers.
Was this your main goal that kind of really ignited you, that you saw the disattachment to brokers and that people weren't getting enough of one-on-one and getting maybe the right information that really stirred you to want to make the newsletter
I
and so
mean,
you really
I think it's even a little different. Like I sit through time, and I've sat on a lot of different boards of companies, and I'm always surprised by the management team's difficulties in telling the stories of those companies, whatever they might be.
I see. Okay.
And it used to be that, oh, like a investment bank would write a research report on it or something like that, at least in Canada, and then that would get disseminated to all the retail investors. And like that's sort of gone. I mean, it exists to a certain extent, but not as it has in the past for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And so, I think what I wanted to do was really just share my views on commodities, on mining, on the industry, on the frameworks that we're using, and just be a voice in an industry that kind of lost its voices.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think people really look for that type of information, like people, especially when they're investing and they really, they have money, they want to put it in the right places, they want to, they want to invest, but they're not sure, maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. And, when they hear another person's point of view of what their success was or how they did it or, what their opinion is and how something should be done according to their own experiences. That can help a person tremendously, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and so now, is this like a monthly newsletter or is this like
So
a.
the newsletter that I produce myself, I write it myself. It's called Greed, Guts, and Glory.
I like.
Anecdotally, so it's that's monthly. We write on commodities probably weekly or every other week, but the actual newsletter where I'm kind of talking about like what I think about state of the market, whatever the topic is only on a monthly basis, because I still have a lot of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, and we're excited. We just launched the first edition of the newsletter. The platform, we've been around for a few years writing about commodities, maybe even like 3 or 4 years now, but the actual newsletter is only launched in August. So yeah, so it's gonna be fun. It's an adventure. I don't know where it will take us, right? I just and it's kind of fun because I'm just writing it with my own voice. I'm not gonna write it like I'm an analyst at a bank or anything like this. It's just gonna say, hey, this is what I think. These are the anecdotes. Do with it what you want.
And when it comes to commodities, like what are some of the common questions and or you know that you hear or some of the common mistakes that you see done when people are trying to invest in commodities? You know, I'm sure there may be common questions people approach you with, or maybe there are common mistakes that you see done over and over again for people who are going in.
I think the first, like I always say, you can't fight the tape. And I think
Yeah.
that's true of every aspect of our life. And what that means is, you know, if the price of gold or copper is collapsing, it doesn't matter what gold or what copper stock you buy, like all of them are going down. So you can't fight the tape. Now, at some point at the bottom of a cycle, you might think, oh, well, copper's going to go up now. I'm going to buy stocks, right? So I think that I would say the first thing is you can't fight the tape.
Yeah.
The second thing is, you know, buy a portfolio. And, you know, don't buy all the craziest microcap stocks, as fun as that is. And trust me, I've done it. God knows I've done that a lot. Make sure if you like copper in this example, or gold or whatever, silver, you know,
Yeah.
buy a portfolio starting off with some of those crazy ones that might go up 100x or zero, but then
Yeah.
buy some of the big producers, right? So you buy like this basket that will give you leverage to the underlying commodity move, but
Right.
also protect you in case one of your 2 year stories go wrong. And if you don't have the time, you don't think you know, then buy an ETF. Like there will be an ETF that will match, a low cost ETF that will match. Now, you're not going to do as well in the long run, but if you're just getting into it, if you're just starting to think about it, it's definitely the safest and probably the most, one of the most liquid ways to actually invest in the space.
Now, when people start to invest in it, and when they start to like want to learn more about investing, if there's any advice that you can give them, like when they're first starting to dip their hand into it, and
I mean, my advice is to stick with what you know. I mean, this is true for investing in general. Like, if you show up at school here in a few weeks and every single kid has a brand new pair of tennis shoes that you never heard of, and then 6 months later they still have them, and by the way, now your cousins are buying them, and everyone's got them. Gosh, and you like them and they're good, and you might think, wow, who owns these? Let's look into that. You know. If all the guys and gals on the block have a Tesla or don't have, you know, like, I mean, so I think you have to go with your intuition on things, right? And so, you know, I think you'd be surprised how much you actually know about
Right.
investing. It's just you don't have a framework for it. So
Yes.
you make these observations, you're like, man, no one's buying new houses, but everyone's doing remodels. Okay, well, what is that? Let's think about it. Everyone's remodeling their house. What? Maybe that means timber is going to go down because people aren't building out. I'm just making that up. But like, you know, so I think that what you want to do is really identify things in your own life and think about them. And then, you know, you can distill them down. I mean, that's one common way,
Right.
especially if you have less time. But now, of course, another way to think about it is to think about these big macro trends happening in the world, like electric vehicles, like
Yeah.
electrification in general of just all these aspects of our life, AI, and then think about those and find, you know, a couple derivatives of that are commodities and which commodities and what's the supply demand dynamic. So a lot of it depends on an individual's time and how much they want to go down that rabbit hole.
Right. And was there a reason why you like focus more on natural resources and the environment, and you kind of went down that road? Was there anything that kind of, drew your interest in that direction?
You know, it was my first job. I was in Europe, and Russia and the former Soviet Union were listing IPOs and on the London Stock Exchange, and in Germany, and even to a lesser extent in the US. And a lot of those companies, even the majority of them that I worked on, were natural resources and some, I mean, a lot of oil, a lot of coal as well, uranium. And you also had that boom in China, where China kind of industrialized in a really short period, once again putting pressure on commodities. So it
Right.
just happened that at the beginning of my career, that's what was going on, and that's where I ended up.
Okay. Because sometimes like people just have like a love for it, or sometimes people just fall into it and they just grasp it, their interest into it. They start doing it, they start liking it, and then they just go with it, And so
It's
I was just.
real. I mean, like everything you see is real. Like, you know, technology, like, I don't know, like, where does Facebook? It's in the cloud or what? You know, I mean, like, it's real too, and it is physically sitting on a, you know, in memory somewhere. But I think for me, one of the attractions is like you get on a big iron ore ship In a logging ship, you go to a copper mine. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like if
Well,
you're a kid and you like playing with Tonka trucks, and you
yeah.
grow up like then you're playing with Tonka trucks again, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And if you think about it, when so many things are made, it all goes back to the environment. You know, everything is drawn from the environment. We wouldn't have all these things if it wasn't for the environment. You know,
Exactly.
everything is taken from the environment.
From the earth, yeah.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Now, what are your goals for this newsletter and for your company? Like, where, you know, what are the things that you're
You know
trying
what? I
to
mean,
accomplish?
I really, I've never done something like this, so I'm just, I would like to really grow an audience and have interactions with an audience and really develop that audience. So I think that's kind of the goal for that newsletter over time, and we'll see where it takes us.
I love it. I love it. You know, I think it's so important to put out information, especially when you have a lot of experience in a field, because people, you know, a lot of times people have interests, but they're kind of scared because one, they may not know, they may know a little, but they don't know a lot. They may have interest in it, but they're afraid to make a mistake because they're afraid of failure, you know, and having the right information and having the guidance, you know, could really make a difference because you could actually, you know, be the spark that makes that person actually invest in commodities and start a whole new, you know, life for themselves and a whole new era in the part of their life that they never thought was possible. So it's kind of exciting in a sense, you
Yeah,
know.
no, exactly. Yeah, it is.
You know, so it's I think it's great what you're doing. Now, overall, what are some of the services that you provide in your company?
So really, if you look at the weekly or biweekly, the Organ Group, it's really just commentary insights on commodities. So it's for people to read. I think, potentially over time with the newsletter, we'll start an investment club. We're not there yet, but I think that's kind of what we're doing right now. So it's not so defined. We're not selling, not really selling anything. It's not really the goal. The goal is really to create an audience of like-minded individuals who either invest or are considering investing in natural resources.
I love it. I love it. Now, where can people find this newsletter?
So you can find the newsletter at theorgangroup.com. Organ is in the state. You can find information about myself at anthonymaluski.com. And then, we're really active on Twitter at @A_Maluski, or just myself, Anthony Maluski, at Twitter. And if you have questions, if you DM me on Twitter, I'm happy to respond.
That's awesome. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you really wanted to summarize it, like what are some of the things you really like to emphasize that you think are important for the listeners to understand?
There's a huge opportunity in investing, and we are really well known and have a lot of information to share with you guys about commodities. And if you have that interest, feel free to look us up at theorgangroup.com.
I love it. And when it comes to investing, you can really start at any age, really,
Yeah,
because
for
you could
sure.
be.
Yeah, there's no limit. I mean, the limit is just your time, your risk tolerance, that sort of stuff.
Right. And does it take a lot of time? Is it like a short process, or is it something that you can do people like start to dive into and start to do and start to learn and or is it something that you have to kind of like take your
I
time
think
to
it's
really.
something you learn over time. I think you start slowly and you work into it.
Right. And I think that probably would be the smartest thing to do because I
Yeah, for
think
sure.
people jump right into
You don't want to
it.
rush it, that's for sure. That is true. Small
A
steps.
100%. You know, well, this has been great. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the conversation that you feel it
No.
might be important, you
No,
know,
I mean,
today?
we're very easy to find. If you want to find us on social media, we're always happy to have a conversation and add any insights we can.
I love it. You know, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time. And this has been a wealth of information. You know, I know a lot of people are interested in investing. And I know a lot of people have a lot of questions and, you know, and they feel unsure about a lot of other things. Or like I mentioned earlier in the conversation, they're just scared of making that wrong mistake because they're investing their money, you know. So they want that help, that guidance and stuff like that. So I think what you're doing by providing the newsletter is great. And then they could also, if they wanted to contact you and maybe talk to you know, could they reach you on your websites?
Yeah, they can reach us on our website, or they can DM me on Twitter. It's also really easy.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much, Anthony, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been fantastic.
Yes, same here. And you have a great day.
Cheers, you too.